In 1629, one of the greatest painters that have ever lived and will ever live painted a masterpiece which you can go and visit in Nuremberg even this day. It is worth millions of pounds. It comes up on the screen now. Paul at his writing desk, the aged apostle, under house arrest in Rome, dictating to his amanuensis, who's writing down the prison epistles. One of those prison epistles, the New Testament book of Colossians, the 12th book in the index of the New Testament, with 4 chapters, 95 verses, 1,998 words, and one theme. And that one theme is summed up for us in the verse which we will read next week, in which we read, in everything, he might be preeminent. Into the church at Colossae came those who were peddling false gospel notions, heresies. It was a mixture of intellectualism and ritualism and legalism and mysticism and asceticism. It was called by a fancy name called Gnosticism. Today it's known as syncretism or pluralism. We'll all get there in the end. What's more, only those who are the enlightened, only those with special knowledge, special insights, will have any chance of reaching heaven. Paul will address this with vigor, with authority. And the reason why he will address this is because he is equipped and qualified, not just by his intellectual prowess, but by the fact that he is an anointed and appointed apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin Colossians this week. We call it To Colossae with Love. Number one, greetings. Number two, gratitude. Number three, grace. Number one, greetings. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. The greeting comes from Paul. Paul is the most famous Christian in this particular period, around AD 60, 61. If you know the New Testament, you will know he's mentioned 188 times. The author of 13 New Testament books, 14 if you include Hebrews, over 87 chapters, over 2,000 verses, over 40,000 words of the New Testament come from this man, Paul. Remember, he was once a raging bull, literally frothing at the mouth because he wanted to destroy anyone that had anything to do with the cult called Christianity. And yet, on that road to Damascus, you remember how that persecutor met the risen Christ. Saul, that was his original name, named after the first king of Israel. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Such a transformation takes place in the mind, in the heart, and in the will, and in the destiny of this man, Saul of Tarsus, that he becomes the foremost leading apologist, the foremost defender of the faith, the leading preacher, missionary, church planter, and soul winner. What a transformation has taken place in this man's life. And here he is. You and I are listening to what he is dictating to his amanuensis, writing to a church then, applying to our lives now. What a privilege. He's writing to a small group. It's to saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. It's a small group of people. They met in the house of Philemon. Archippus, Apphia, Onesimus. You'll read all about them in the New Testament. Epaphras. This church was planted by Epaphras there in Colossae in southwest Turkey. He doesn't just write this on his own. Look what he says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Here he is writing with Timothy. Timothy, you know, was a young man who was converted. He came from a mixed race background. He was wonderfully trained from his mother's knee. He knew personal faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was fragile and a bit timid, he became a pastor of one of the greatest churches in the New Testament, the church at Ephesus. So fragile was he that Paul had to write to him and say, "Listen, Timothy, you have stomach problems. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And let no one despise your youth." Timothy's with him. Timothy knows the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And he's loyal to the core. Stop. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Are you loyal to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Here they are engaging to write to this small group situated in southwest Turkey. In fact, you could visit it today. Not Colossae, but it's called today Koyun, near Denizli. In fact, you can find the Colossae Thermal Spa Hotel, not too far away from where this small group of people gathered whom the Apostle Paul writes to. Staggering. Look how he starts. He calls them saints. He calls them faithful brothers in Christ. Saints. It's not, "Oh, when the saints go marching in, singing for Southampton Football Club." It's not the saint, you know, with the halo around his head. Saints means those set apart, called out. Called out by the gospel. Set apart through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. They're brothers and sisters in the family of God, meeting there in this small town of Colossae. Paul has never been there. And yet, he's going to write to them this gem of an epistle. I'm telling you, this epistle is packed full of diamonds and rubies and gems for you and I. And you and I can grow in grace as we read this epistle. Look how he starts. Grace, charis, shalom. He's writing to a mixed group. It was a large Jewish community. There's a Gentile group of men and women. Some of them are in the church. Charis, grace, may the favor and blessing and smile of God be upon you. Shalom, the Hebrew greeting of welcome and warmth and love. May you know the favor, blessing, warmth, tranquility, serenity, stability that the living God wants to put upon your life. What a greeting. God wants you to know his charis, his grace. He wants you to know his shalom, his peace in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your life. What a greeting. Number two, we have his gratitude. Paul is thankful. Paul is prayerful, thankful for their faith and love and hope. He's going to pray that they would know God and walk worthy and be strengthened with all might. Let's read it together. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Here's Paul expressing his thankfulness, and he's doing it prayerfully. Here is a man praying for people he's never met, praying for people he's never seen, never had face-to-face contact with. Epaphras. Here he's praying for the church, many of whom he doesn't even know. Yet he says, I pray for you continually. Continually. Let's look at that together, shall we? Here's what he says. We thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith. This is what he thanks God for. I've heard that you Colossian Christians have real faith. You can't be a Christian without having faith. When the writers of the Hebrews said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. All that come to God must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently search for him. Faith. I'm thankful to God, I'm grateful to God for your faith in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah, in Yeshua, the promised one, the sent one. And not only so, I'm grateful of the love that you have for all the saints. Listen, you cannot be a Christian without knowing the love of God shed abroad in your heart by faith and without demonstrating that love in love for one another. After all, this is what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And remember the beloved Apostle John said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. I know that there are Christians who get on your nerves. I know that there are Christians who do your head in at times. But you know, the command is, and wherever God gives a command, he gives us the power to obey that command. It is that we love one another. The Apostle Peter took up the same theme. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Be known as men and women who love brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm grateful, says Paul, because of your faith. It's so obvious. Your love, it's so obvious. But more than that, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That hope, that unconditional, guaranteed certainty. That's what New Testament hope is. It's not wishing, well, I hope I get this for Christmas. Or I hope my person I'm going to marry is tall, dark, and handsome, or young and beautiful. No, no. This hope is a guaranteed certainty given by the promises of God. He offering peace eternal. The hope which is ours, the assurance which is ours, that laid up for us in heaven is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, which fades not away, reserved for us. Listen, says Paul, these truths you've heard in the word of the gospel, it's the truth. This good news is the truth. It's come to you. It's come to the whole world. It's bearing fruit in the world. What's more, it's bearing fruit in your life, and you're growing. Growing in your faith. Growing in faith. Growing in love. Growing in hope. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And I am so grateful. And not only is he grateful, he's prayerful. Let's read what else he says. He's prayerful that they would know God and walk worthy and be strengthened. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here's my desire. Here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that you Christians there in Colossae would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that you'd have Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit wisdom, Holy Spirit understanding. Oh, listen. I know thousands of Christians who want to know the will of God. They're always asking what the will of God is. They're asking all sorts of people. They're reading all sorts of books. Paul says, I'm praying that they will know you, know your will, that you'll have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a wonderful prayer that is. Not only so, but that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer that is. I'm praying that you'd know God and know his will and be filled with the Holy Spirit's wisdom and understanding so that you can discern that. I'm praying that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord so that it fully pleases him. So that you bear fruit in every good work. So that you're increasing and growing and developing in the knowledge of God. You see, he didn't want them just to have head knowledge. He wanted their fate to be bound in shoe leather and to be walked out, so that people can see. Jesus said, let men see your good works so they glorify my Father who is in heaven. I want you to walk in such a way. It pleases the Lord. It fully pleases the Lord. You bear fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, faith. So that it becomes obvious you're a man, you're a woman who knows God, who has a knowledge of God. But that's not all he prays. He prays that you may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. What a prayer that is. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. Now, can I ask you, what is this all power? What is this glorious might? It seems in short supply today. This all power is nothing more or less than the infilling and empowering of God the Holy Spirit, opening our eyes, opening our ears, quickening our hearts, strengthening our faith, enabling us, empowering us by that glorious might which raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, so that we can endure with patience and with joy, going on and on in our Christian faith. No turning back, no putting up the white flag, no quitting the fight, running the race, keeping the faith, finishing the course, winning the crown, for all endurance and patience with joy. Oh, giving thanks to the Father. Think about this. You should be thanking the Father, as Paul is. He's qualified us. You and I, by nature and by practice, are utterly disqualified, are we not? By the thoughts we think, by the motives we have, by the words we speak, by the attitudes we hold, by the history cluttered and littered with regret and sin, by the nature of the flesh, because of the attacks of the world and the flesh and the devil, which we so often succumb to. And yet, sinners by nature and by practice have been made qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Think about that. To share in that wonderful inheritance that everyone who's marked out and set apart by the gospel, living in light, knowing him who is the light of the world, he it is who qualifies us. Oh, gratitude, thankfulness, prayerfulness. Number three, grace. Look at these words. So that you may... The wrong page. Listen to these words. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that amazing? Delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. Wow. Should we say that together? Delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. Friends, that's the grace of God. Listen to what Paul says again. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Every believer in our Lord Jesus Christ has been delivered from a domain, from a kingdom of darkness, where we were in the dominion of the prince of the power of the air, the evil one, the adversary, the devil. He has delivered us from that domain of darkness, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of idolatry and immorality, the darkness of our sin and unbelief. He's delivered us. What's more, he's transferred us. This is not a transfer fee from one football club to another. This is a transfer from one dominion to another, from one kingdom to another, from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan unto God, from hell to heaven. What a transfer. Not only so, we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. And we've been brought back. Oh, you're fed up of me telling you the story of the Billy Graham who used to own the pawnbroker's shop at the top of Wellington Road, so I won't tell you that story. I'll tell you a different one. I took a funeral this week of a family from the Dingle. They said to me, "We went to Wellington Road School. Did you ever go into a shop called Willie Lay's?" Can I tell you this? This was like, woof. By the way, they knew the Hesseys, including Vinny. "Willie Lay's? I was never out of the shop. Why did you go there?" "It was on the corner of the street, almost opposite to where I lived. Go to Mr. Willie Lay, who was a white-haired old man, and go and ask if you can have on tick," that means without paying, "a quarter of boiled ham, 2 ounces of corned beef, and 5 rashers of bacon, and half a dozen eggs." This is my mother. "Go and ask if you can have it on tick. Ask if you can have it on the slate." So I go in, embarrassed, and they'd write down, Willie Lay would write down, boiled ham, corned beef, bacon, eggs. "Your mother owes me 10 shillings, or whatever it was. Oh, it was embarrassing. I'm telling you, embarrassing. And every week I had to do this. As well as borrowing money from my auntie Gailey, who wasn't my auntie. But you know what would happen? Sometime, somewhere, somehow, that bill would be paid. Hey, listen. On the slate of our lives, whoa, can you imagine what's written against our lives, our thoughts, our words, our motives, our attitudes, our actions, sins of omission, sins of commission? But that slate has been wiped clean. Hallelujah. And we have been pronounced forgiven. That's part of God's amazing grace. Why did he love me? I never can tell. Why did he suffer to save me from hell? Nothing but infinite grace from above could have conceived such a message of love. Delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. That old African blasphemer, John Newton, said, "I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I could be. I'm not what I will be. But I'm not what I was. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." Greetings, gratitude, grace. Do you have faith? Do you have love? Do you have hope? Have you been delivered? Have you been transferred? Have you been redeemed? Are you forgiven? If not, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and to our God. For he will have mercy upon us. He will abundantly pardon. And if you are delivered, transferred, redeemed, and forgiven, then know God and ask and pray, "Lord, enlighten me. Lord, enable me to walk worthy. Lord, empower me with that mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead." And let's sing of that amazing grace. light of your charis and shalom, in the light of your grace and peace, in the light of us being redeemed and transferred and delivered and forgiven. Grant us grace, we pray. The grace of your Holy Spirit, his power to enlighten us, to enable us, to empower us to live lives which are pleasing to you. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.